my question is, for atheist voters that are looking for somebody that will uphold their rights as Americans and not pander to a certain religious group, my question is, how do you plan on upholding our rights and focusing on non-theists?
To watch the news, you'd think Iowa was a homogeneous voting bloc of evangelical Christians. But like in every other part of the country, the truth is far more complicated than that. Doing something that I don't hesitate to call both vital and patriotic, activist Justin Scott has challenged a number of presidential candidates regarding their approach to non-religious Iowans and Americans. We mentioned his against-the-grain questioning of Marco Rubio and Carly Fiorina on last week's show, and this week, I'm happy to say, we're welcoming Justin Scott to State of Belief Radio. Justin, welcome.
Yeah, thank you so much. I appreciate being invited onto the show.
What's the focus of questions that you've addressed to the various candidates?
Well, it first started off just to try to raise awareness for the non-theistic viewpoint, both here in Iowa and across the country. American Atheists is putting out an effort called Atheist Voter, where they are trying to get non-theistic voters out in front of these candidates. And I thought, why can't I do that? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's pretty easy.
Uh-huh.
So it first started with just a simple question of how do you plan to uphold and or strengthen the separation of church and state?
Mm-hmm.
And this kind of evolved as I started going to different events for different candidates where I would actually do some research on each candidate to find out, you know, maybe if there's one or two big things that they focus on from a religious standpoint and how that affects their leadership. And I would actually start to tailor my questions to each candidate.
Mm-hmm. Did the people around you, when you asked the question, seem to be surprised that you were asking that question?
Oh, absolutely. It was basically as if I had stood up and asked, you know, would you vote for a purple unicorn? I don't think anybody in the rooms that I had been in had ever even seen an atheist in person, let alone heard somebody stand up and say, hi, I'm an atheist, and I have a question.
Yeah. And you could talk intelligently.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, that's one of the biggest things I've been trying to do is I can talk until I'm blue in the face to these voters and these candidates about the virtues of being a non-theistic American in Iowan. I can say that I'm a regular guy. You know, I run mm-hmm. a small business. I'm a father. I'm a husband. But I think sometimes it's how you act and how you treat people that mean more mm-hmm. than anything you can say. Because I can sit there and say, well, atheists are this way, and then all of a sudden act a different way, and people are going to say, well, I don't care what you say. Look at how you acted. But
right. yeah.
with the Marco Rubio exchange and the video that I've put up there that's gone super viral in just the last week, people have gotten to see that an atheist in Iowa is respectful, you know, asking very well thought out questions and isn't just there to throw tomatoes at the candidate and scream and get kicked out and mm-hmm. all of those tired and old stereotypes about what non-believers are and how
yeah.
they act.
Which candidates have been cooperative candidates you've gotten answers from?
So far, I have been able to challenge 9 different candidates, ranging from Hillary Clinton to Donald Trump to Ted Cruz to Bernie Sanders. And so far, Donald Trump has been the only one that has flat out ignored me. I was standing 6 inches from him. He was signing an autograph for me. He took a selfie with me. I asked him the question. He nodded. And then he just stood there. And he didn't respond. He didn't say anything. And so I, you know, respectfully said, Mr. Trump, did you happen to hear me? And he kind of just stood there and he stood there. And finally, when he handed me the autographed picture, I said, Mr. Trump, again, my question. And he reaches out and he taps me on the arm and he says, you take care now. And he moves on. Mm. And so, you know, I've been very appreciative of all the time and consideration that a lot of these candidates have given me on both sides of the aisle. For the most part, they've taken my question head on.
Mm-hmm.
I just saw Secretary Clinton in Cedar Falls, Iowa, and she was working the fence line after her event. And when I put the question out there, she didn't keep walking. She didn't keep signing autographs. And she didn't try walking away. I mean, she literally stopped what she was doing, looked me in the eyes, and gave me a very good answer. So, you know, for the most part, I haven't had any pushback. I've had no candidate mock me. I've had no candidate roll their eyes and say, oh, you're just one of them atheists, whatever. So it's been fun.
What would you consider to be the best and the worst answers that you've heard so far?
Without making it a polar issue, because that's not what I want. I'm not going into this looking to be divisive, and I'm not looking to just stir up controversy. You know, what I want first and foremost is just dialogue. In terms of the best answer, I think it starts with just a willingness to take on my question and take it seriously. Mm-hmm. I think that is the foundation of a good dialogue between people of different faiths and beliefs and lack of beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
I will say, in terms of the worst answers, it's not so much that what they've said, but it's kind of the overall, like when they say read between the lines. I've had some candidates that want to focus on, instead of saying how they are going to stand up for the separation of church and state, they want to reference the First Amendment, and they want to say, well, it's your right to be an atheist. And it's like, well, really, you don't say, you know, I've been on this earth for 34 years and I've known that it's my right to do a whole bunch of things. I don't need a reminder of that. What I need is an answer to my questions about very specific issues.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, on one side, I compliment Marco Rubio for taking on my question. On the other side, I do feel that he went into kind of a sermon mode and talked more about his beliefs and tried to pander to those evangelical voters in the room rather than just saying, you know what, I'll make sure no one discriminates against you. I'll make sure that, you know, your viewpoint is listened to and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not necessarily good versus bad. It's just, did we push the conversation forward? Did both sides feel like they came out of it benefiting from it?
What did Candidate Cruz say? How did he treat you?
I'm not going to lie. As I walked into the building and I noticed that it was a tiny coffee shop and it was packed, you know, my heart started racing because I realized that as an atheist, I'm standing around a bunch of people that do not see things the way I see them. And as he walked in, I realized that Bob Vanderplas and Steve King from Sioux City,
mm-hmm.
two of the most staunch, believing leaders in the state of Iowa, who many would say go against a secular viewpoint or an atheist viewpoint,
mm-hmm.
Had actually joined him. So I knew that now the stakes had been raised because now I'm going to be addressing not only Mr. Cruz, but these two as well. They get the crowd worked up, and then Mr. Cruz comes in, and he gets the crowd worked up into this God-loving, anti-Obama, grab-your-guns, grab-your-Bible type of, you know, frenzy. So he says, does anybody have any questions? And immediately I stick my hand in the air, and I say, Mr. Cruz, I do. And before he can even call on me, I said, you know, you've said a lot of things that have been disparaging against non-believers. Why should an atheist like me vote for a person like you? And there was this moment where I just said in my head, like, okay, the question's out there. Hold on tight.
Yeah.
When I first started and I said, hi, I'm an atheist, you could just tell the people there. I mean, they just turned and looked like with giant eyes, like, what is this? You know?
So what did he say?
You know, he answered it in a very well-performed, well-rehearsed manner. He talked about, again, it was my right to be an atheist, but it's his right to be a Christian. And I could tell that he was starting to pander a little bit to the religious voters in the room.
Mm-hmm.
He started talking about how Christians are being persecuted and things like that. And at one point, he even asked me to come join him in becoming a Christian. Well, the funniest part is that I grew up a Christian. I was baptized Catholic. I was baptized Lutheran. And so I've already been down that road, and I've already experienced that. And so I didn't need to hear that from him. What I really wanted to hear was, what was his plan to uphold the rights of all Americans?
Mm-hmm.
And it sounded more like he had grabbed his religious freedom speech and kind of just threw it at me. And so, you know, in a perfect world, he would have given me an answer of, I have my faith, everyone else has their faith, and I'm going to do what I can to help everybody. But the sense I got was that, I'm a Christian, and you're not, and if you're not with me, well, then you're on the other side.
Justin Scott is the communications chair for the Iowa chapter of the Secular Coalition for America. This campaign season, he's boldly questioned a number of presidential candidates on their positions regarding non-religious Americans and their rights in a religion-soaked political season. Justin, this has been a real pleasure to talk with you. You're doing vitally important work for Iowans and for democracy. Thank you for being with us today on State of Belief Radio.
Yeah, thank you so much. I really appreciate the opportunity.